Ramping up your business? The time is near. You've given it heart. Now get it in gear. It's Passage to Profit with Richard and Elizabeth Gearhart.
I'm Richard Gearhart, founder of Gearhart Law, a full-service intellectual property law firm specializing in patents, trademarks, and copyrights.
And I'm Elizabeth Gearhart, not an attorney, but I do marketing for Gearhart Law, and I have my own startups and podcasts.
Welcome to Passage to Profit, the road to entrepreneurship, where we talk with entrepreneurs and celebrities who tell their stories about their business journey and also share helpful insights about the successes that they've had.
Did you know that 2 in 5 Americans want to start a new business or are business owners? Well, we have lots of information to help them too.
And we also talk a little about the intellectual property that helps them flourish. And now it's time for our first interviewee, Mr. Matt Wright. He's from Gaia and EVM Capital. He's really wrapped up into this artificial intelligence, crypto, blockchain stuff. So very much a Gaia of the future. Let's talk a little bit about the future of AI and the future of work. Tell us about what you do.
We're building living knowledge systems. Right now, there's a lot of centralized or, you know, big AI companies that are taking your data and they're doing who knows what with it. It's not to say they're doing anything bad or dangerous, but we just don't know. It's hard to trust what is actually happening with your data. There's all kinds of IP problems happening. There's censorship of the AI by, you know, a small group of people in Silicon Valley or DC. What we're doing is creating more open systems where you can take your data, put that against AI and monetize it over time.
It does seem like AI is taking over every nook and cranny of our lives. Mm-hmm. You're trying to help developers figure out how to use AI. What is that going to look like? So people have been programming, and it's funny because, like, I feel like with ChatGPT, for instance, I'm being trained to speak in the language of whomever program ChatGPT, because I have to ask the question the right way to get the answer I want. I feel like if you're a developer today and you're not learning AI and knowing how to use it, you're not going to be a developer tomorrow, right?
This is a great question. So we are taking what centralized AI does in a giant box as their company, and we're breaking apart in different components. So developers are having the opportunity to, you know, have a more modular experience where they can build this in a way that works better for their data sets or perhaps how they structure their compute. And then for end users, ultimately, you know, we will get to interact with AI in a way that is open and works in a way that we want to interact with it. It's a lot more of a collaborative experience. So we've deployed 195,000 of these AI agents in the past 4 months.
So what is an AI agent?
So imagine a ChatGPT, that itself is an app, but imagine a bunch of different instances or versions of what you're interfacing with.
You know, it's so interesting that we're talking about this because it's like with AI, we need a whole new language.
For us, we see a world where there will be workers who collaborate with AI agents that perhaps do all the busy work you don't want to do. You know, I think everyone's going to have to turn into a manager of sorts.
I think in the legal profession, it is going to eventually create a fair amount of change.
To say flat out that it would replace the job of a lawyer, you know, I don't think that's quite the case. I think it will make our jobs a lot easier. I think jobs will change dramatically.
I do think you're right. I think we're all going to turn into managers.
Yeah.
But you are right. We have always put a premium on singularity. Would a genius do something better on AI than, you know, normal person?
And that's why we bring in the blockchain piece, because you can actually create finite provable works on a blockchain. And we have a project that's taking two artists' historical works and using AI to build a new work, like a collaboration. And then that's creating a token, essentially. And so it's crazy. Like, new stuff will happen.
So who owns that then?
Probably like the family of Picasso. we'll get the royalties.
I think in the medical industry, AI really can be valuable because it can read a chart, or not a chart, but it can read like a scan, you know, any like an MRI or anything, and probably find things like the one you had 6 months ago to the one you had today, find things that maybe the naked eye couldn't find, right?
You're listening to Passage to Profit with Richard and Elizabeth Gearhart. We have a really amazing guy, Matt Wright from Gaia and EVM Capital. He's very much into AI. Just to play devil's advocate, though, I've said this before, there was a research group in Europe that used AI to generate individual medicinal compounds that were poison. And they used the AI software to generate over 40,000 compounds that would kill a human being, and many of them would not be detectable after the death of the person. So there is a downside to this too, right?
Yeah, we're in a new paradigm. Like, we work on open source AI models. So one of the biggest models we use is provided free by Meta, like Facebook. It's called Llama. And there's a lot of folks in the space who kind of take two sides of the philosophy of, is it good to have this open technology? Is it better to have it controlled by, you know, a small entity? Like, imagine OpenAI, like, they have a whole team that interfaces with different government organizations, top secret clearance, et cetera. It's really a philosophy of technology. Should it be open or closed? You know, we've had similar challenges in the past with Linux and Bitcoin as open technologies. But I think back then it was like, could you use open software to build your own airplane or like medical device? Less likely. Now it's like, can you build your own, you know, like anthrax? it's scary. It's scary. That's how powerful the tech is.
So do you believe that AI should be regulated?
I do think it should be regulated at a certain level. I think the software itself should be open. But I do believe those that are using it, or perhaps, you know, those that are putting it into application, there should be some sort of oversight.
I do think that some of the jobs that the AI community needs are psychologists and people that can help help normal people that aren't programmers be able to use the AI and use the interfaces and have it make sense to them in some way. Because I think there's a big disconnect there. Like, people that are really good at tech, they're like, oh yeah, this means this. There are a lot of people that don't even want to pick up a computer because it's like, I'm not really sure where to start, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there has to be this sort of user interface. And I know they've done that in the past, but I think that this is going to be really important going forward.
I think that's going to be a big boom, is when I think there's this next evolution where folks need to onboard to new jobs. Yeah.
Another impact area is social media. Mm. I mean, social media is almost like crack for so many people. It is like for me. But as AI becomes more integrated with some of the algorithms, it's going to be even more addictive, I think. And they're going to be better able to hit your hot buttons, right? And keep you focused on these things. And so I wonder, is that really good for us in the long run? You know,
I don't think so. And that's why, you know, X or Twitter, like, I'm not a fan of it these days. It is chaos. But I think if we have more open systems, there's going to be on the other side, perhaps AI that helps us filter out all that noise, you know, so it makes our lives a bit easier. But I think there's a world where it can collaborate with us. It can kind of protect us from the AI that's trying to, you know, come into our life.
I think there do need to be some laws around it. I feel like it's like the financial industry. There's a lot of money in the AI industry, a lot. So I feel like the way the financial industry is regulated, I don't know that it needs to be that strict, although it seems like it's very Wild West right now in AI. I do think there need to be regulations around it from the government, because AI has a lot of control over our lives, and we did not elect any of these people that are controlling our lives, right?
Exactly.
So our representatives need to go put some safeguards in place for us.
Yeah, I
agree.
And I mean, for our audience, if you've never experienced AI or actually used it, I mean, I would encourage you to go to your computer and type in ChatGPT and just play with it for a few minutes and see what it is all about and what happens. I mean, I was kind of a slow adopter of the internet. It was out there for like 5 years before I even started looking at it, because I didn't think it was relevant to my life. And I think that was a mistake. So you should really just give it a try and see what it's like.
I've at least noticed there's this whole thing in the college world, perhaps even high school, where folks are getting in trouble for perhaps using AI to like fix their or answer their tests, do their papers. That was the same thing I was facing in high school, et cetera, on like, don't Google this thing. And then now it's like a core component of my work. So and I know how to use Google like a, you know, like crazy. I know how to type, you know, and use apps. And so I think the next generation of folks entering the workforce, maybe that's negative in education space right now, but that may be a strength in like the next workforce.
Kind of like these kids that are gamers that are suddenly making millions of dollars.
Yeah, droning. And it's crazy. It's crazy.
So anyway, we have to wrap up this segment. We'll be back with more from Matt Wright right after this commercial break. You're listening to Passage to Profit with Richard and Elizabeth Gerhart. Stay tuned for Secrets of the Entrepreneurial Mind coming up later in the program.
If you turned 65 recently like me, it's important you find a Medicare Advantage plan that gives you the coverage you're looking for. But finding one can be difficult. The best thing I did, and I suggest you do the same, is call a licensed insurance agent and let them walk you through your Medicare Advantage plan options. There are so many benefits you have access to. So make the call now and let the representatives explain everything to you. Our licensed insurance agents can offer you a variety of Medicare Advantage plans. Plus, the call is free, the information is free, and there's no obligation to enroll. We're here to make it easy for you to select a Medicare Advantage plan that may work for your needs. Finding a Medicare Advantage plan can be easy if you do what I did. Make a quick call right now to learn more. Thank you.
800-425-4803. 800-425-4803. 800-425-4803. That's 800-425-4803. Are you running a small business with two or more employees struggling to find affordable health insurance? Well, help is just a call away. Whether you're a restaurant owner, retail store manager, or a gig worker with staff, we've got you covered. Get quality health insurance plans starting as low as $120 a month. Our custom comparison tool finds plans tailored specifically to your business. We know it can be tough to find the right coverage. That's why we're here, to make the process seamless and stress-free. Our plans include health, vision, and dental coverage, all at unbeatable rates. Call the Small Business Health Insurance Hotline now. We'll compare top providers to get you the best deal in one quick phone call. Don't wait. Secure the benefits you and your employees deserve today. Call now. Rates may vary based on location and coverage options. 802-491-2084. 802-491-2084. 802-491-2084. That's 802-491-2084.
Now back to Passage to Profit. Once again, Richard and Elizabeth Gearhart.
And our special guest, Matt Wright. And we have been talking about AI, its impact on people and society, and kind of what's going on in the field right now. Matt's an expert, so we're going to continue this conversation with Matt. One of our guests here had a very interesting question. Our policymakers really need to be involved to protect us from nefarious individuals or nefarious AI itself. How do we convince them or get them on board and get them to even understand what we're talking about?
I think first you said it, they got to download ChatGPT, see what it's about maybe. But I think they'll realize pretty quick that they probably can't put a lot of their work in there, because I think here, like, it took us 7 years to really have some progress in government, at least in the U.S., on crypto. And so, like, AI is going to be this next challenge, which I think we're just getting started.
So when we put information on the internet and then ChatGPT or one of these search engines finds it and uses it to answer a ChatGPT question from somebody else. When we put information on there, how does it find it? How does it know where to go? What's the likelihood that somebody's going to find it and share that with somebody else?
Yeah, if it's in public domain, like the large language models, like the AIs, it depends what company you're talking about. But like most companies that have their own large language model are training these things on publicly available data. If your data is public, then yeah, it's likely. We're really only seeing the tip of the iceberg of data that's accessed. But a lot of these large corporations, they're not willing to put that data out in public.
In the legal profession, we have companies contacting us all the time saying, well, you can write your patent applications using AI, but then I have serious reservations of putting my clients' inventions and technology into this mass database that anybody else could use. I mean, that's a violation of our confidentiality requirements. So it's going to be a while, I think, before you can use AI for anything that's really super sensitive.
There needs to be a conversation with politicians, especially on how this technology is evolving, so that when there comes to be regulation, it's not biased or uneducated.
You really do need to take a look at AI now, because it has been around for a while now. It's not going away. And it's in aspects of your life you don't even know about. Even in jobs where, say, you're a plumber, you're going to have instruments that will use an AI program to check the sewer lines or whatever and find out where the clog is or whatever it is. And then, yeah, you'll go fix it, but you're still going to have to use AI in your job.
Yeah. The guidance probably will be AI automated, so this person can have more time to spend with their customer, or perhaps, you know, just more time to focus on their work.
That's great. This has been a great discussion. Matt Wright from Gaia and EVM Capital, where can people find you?
People can find me on LinkedIn or Twitter, Matt Wright, Gaia, G-A-I-A. and you'll find me there.
Great. Passage to Profit is a nationally syndicated radio show appearing in 38 markets across the United States. In addition, Passage to Profit has also been recently selected by FeedSpot Podcasters Database as a top 10 entrepreneur interview podcast. Thank you to the P2P team, our producer Noah Fleischman, and our program coordinator Alicia Morrissey, and our studio assistant Rissikat Busari. Look for our podcast tomorrow anywhere you get your podcasts. Our podcast is ranked in the top 3% globally. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, X, and on our YouTube channel. And remember, while the information on this program is believed to be correct, never take a legal step without checking with your legal professional first. Gearhart Law is here for your patent, trademark, and copyright needs. You can find us at gearhartlaw.com and contact us for a free consultation. Take care, everybody. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.